You know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks through this series called IDK, meaning I don't know, and looking at difficult questions regarding life and regarding God and the things that leave us thinking, I don't know. And first week, we talked about how do we know that God is real? How do we know that God is real? And we looked at the evidence that is all around us for that, meaning the universe, the earth, yourselves, those kinds of things that can show us that there must be an intelligent designer, an intelligent creator. And last week we talked about why bad things happen to good people, because that's a question that a lot of people ask. Why do bad things happen to good people? If you missed that one, you can certainly listen to the podcast online. You can go to iTunes and find it there, as well as the link through our website. But the fact of the matter is that none of us are good. And that's kind of a hard one to really stomach there. But none of us are good. Even though we think, why do bad things happen to good people? None of us are good. This world is broken. And sin is many, many times the reason for all of it. God is not the cause. And he wants to use our tragedies. He wants to use those things to do something good and to do something beautiful in our lives. And so that brings us to this week's question. Because if we believe that there is a God and we understand a little bit more about the way that he works and interacts in our lives, then we inevitably come to this week's question, which is Jesus the only way? Is Jesus the only way? And I guess let me say this. This is a question that is asked a lot today as well in different regards, because there's a lot of things that talk today and a lot of people that talk today about the kind of idea of whatever's good for you is good for you. And that, we're all going to end up in the same place anyway. That sort of mentality, because nobody wants to be offended. You can't offend anybody, even if you're offended by the people that don't want to offend you. And the thing is, it's okay to ask questions. All right, let me say that. In this room, because you may be asking this question. You may be like, nah, like I like Jesus, but he's not necessarily the only, you might be thinking that he's not the only way. You may have that question. You know what, that's cool, you're welcome here. I want you to hear that from me. You're welcome here. That's fine if that's where you're at right now, because church should also be a place of for us to be able to ask questions and to feel like it's a safe place to ask questions and to discover more about this life and to ask spiritual questions. If you can't do it in church, then what in the world, right? So it's okay to ask questions, and questions and doubts don't necessarily show a lack of faith. Even if you're a believer, you might not be, you may have this question, or you've talked to people that have this question, is Jesus the only way? Questions can help us learn and grow and trust God even more, but ultimately you're actually asking this question is, can we all be right? Can we all be right? Because it can come off a little bit arrogant, quite honestly. You might have a friend who has a different religious view, religious belief than you do, and that's cool. Maybe you've got a friend that's not religious at all, doesn't have a religious view, but they're a good person. We call them a good person, but we want to believe, I think deep down, that all religions, there's that idea out there that all religions, maybe we want to believe that they're all acceptable. And yeah, I love my friend. And even though they believe different than me, I really want to believe that they're going to, have a favorable afterlife as well. But as followers of Jesus, as Christians, what are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do with the different religious beliefs? Because can we all be right? Are we all going to end up in the same place at the end anyway? That's a lot of the question that's being asked right now. So I want to dig into that. And I want to talk about the differences. If you do have the Bible app, you can follow along on there. If you haven't pulled that up yet, you can just go to events and you can find it right there, because there's some good content in here that I think you're going to want to have and to possibly refer to. And I've got some things for you at the end as well that will help. But I want to take the next few minutes and I want to look at the basic beliefs, all right? I'm not going to be able to do like a real good overview here, but the basic beliefs of the four major worldviews, four major religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity, all right? I want to look at these, and I want to see if it's possible that we can all be right. So let's look at that. What do those other religions believe? Some of you may know, some of you may not have a clue. So let's take a look. Let's start with them. All right, so let's start with Hinduism. All right, Hindus, they make up 13% of the world's population. The basic belief of Hinduism is that your position in this present life, like where you are right now, is determined by your actions in a previous life. Okay, so what you did in your previous life, the whole reincarnation idea, that when you die, if you've made poor decisions, if you've made evil decisions, that will dictate, I guess, where you end up in your position in life in your next life. And if you've done good things and great things, then you will end up in a better position in your next life. And so you'll be reincarnated into a higher position. And the ultimate goal of Hinduism is that you live such a good life that you can break the cycle of these rebirths and be at peace. Yeah, because eventually you want to like not have to be reincarnated all these many, many times, and you want to break that cycle and be at peace. All right, so that's a really, really basic view of Hinduism there. Okay, Buddhism. Buddhists make up 6% of the world, okay? They believe there is no God. By the way, Hinduism, they believe in many, many gods. I didn't say that, I'm sorry. They believe in many, many gods. Buddhism does not. Buddhism does not really believe in a god in the same way that Hindus do. But they believe that there is a cycle of rebirths as well. And the goal is to be disciplined enough and to achieve spiritual enlightenment. Bless you. And to gain the spiritual enlightenment, okay? Everything through meditation, through discipline, you can break the cycle of rebirths and enter nirvana, which is not a band. It started in Buddhism. So that's Buddhism. Now let's talk about Islam. We hear a lot about Islam. It makes up 21% of the world. 21%. Muslims believe that there's one God that's the center of everything, and that's Allah. And they call, they say that this God, Allah, is also rewarding you in the afterlife based on your devotion to him and the rituals that you perform and the way that you live your life, your religious life here. And you can either be rewarded or you can be punished in the afterlife for what you do here. The ultimate goal of Muslims is that you're devoted enough that you can make it to paradise in this afterlife. All right, so again, you may notice a theme going on here with these three. And like I said, this is a really like quick overview because it's much deeper than that. And there are some bigger differences as well that I'm going to get to here in just a second. Then we got Christianity. 33% of the world. 33%. Basic belief of Christianity is a faith in Jesus, allows you to have a relationship with God, both in this life and the next. No amount of religious devotion or ritual can earn someone favor with God, though. And that's a big difference. There is no, while the other three, you may notice, we're talking about all the things that you do, you earn your way to where you're going. Christianity is actually the complete opposite in that respect. You can't earn more favor with God based on Christianity. And so to simplify this, to boil it down, I've got like these statements that boil down these religions. So Hinduism, the points to be good enough to break the cycle of religious of rebirths. Buddhism, kind of similar, but the point is to be good enough to break the cycle of rebirths and reach nirvana. And then you got Islam, which the point is to be good enough to make it to paradise after death. And then you've got Christianity, where the point is to be good enough to... Okay, that's not the point of Christianity, is to be good enough. It's why Christianity is so different. It's different from those other religions, because the point is not to be good enough. The point is not to be good enough. Because it's not about what we've done. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what I've done. It's about what God's done. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." When Paul's talking about this verse, or when Paul's talking about this idea, he's talking about the complete opposite of all of those other three. He's talking about the fact that there's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Nobody is gonna, as this verse says, nobody's gonna stand before God and be able to boast and go, I'm the man. I'm here, everybody. Didn't you know? It's me. Right? Like, nobody's going to be able to boast in front of God and say that you were good enough or you earned your way there. It's by grace that you are there. Because as we talked about last week, nobody's really good deep down. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So we've got this difference here, but how do we know that we're right? How do I know that I'm right? We can say this. Because we know we can't all be right. Because when we look at those three, as compared to Christianity, so you got those four, you see a very distinct difference. All four of those cannot be right. They just can't. So if you think about back when, like, the earth, people thought the earth was flat, and then they found out it's round. We can't all be right. Not everybody can be right. So how do we know that Christianity was right? How do we know that we've chosen the right one? Well, we need to honestly look at the person of Jesus. Because if you want to talk about what the biggest difference is, while those three do talk about earning their way to heaven, the biggest difference has to do with their view on Jesus Christ. Because if those three are all very similar, let's think about this logically for a second. Those three are very similar in that regard. So what is the biggest difference between them? Not only the not earning your way to heaven. So let's take the one that's kind of the odd man out, the Christianity one, and let's see if we can get rid of it. Well, the best way to get rid of it is to look at the person of Jesus Christ, because that's where everything is fundamentally based for Christianity. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. If you look at the person of Jesus, here's the deal. There is historical truth in the person of Jesus. Historical truth. All right? Historians, whether they are followers of Christ or not, historians, almost all of them will agree that Jesus was an actual person that walked the face of the earth. And the ones that don't agree with that, which are, I'm talking, ridiculously minute amount, are also looked at like they don't know what they're talking about. But this was a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. And I just want to read you a couple of historical accounts from ancient history books. And this is not the Bible. This is history books, okay? This is Josephus, who was a Roman historian, okay? 37 to 100 AD. He wrote this: "About this time, there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was one who wrought surprising feats and as a teacher of such people as accepts the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing among us, had condemned him to be crucified, those who had in the first place come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day he appeared to them, restored to life, for the prophets of God had prophesied these and countless other marvelous things about him, and the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared." Okay. Has still to this day not disappeared. This is a guy that wrote this, all right, around the time the Bible was being written, and even before some of the books had been written. Another non-Christian, a historian named Tacitus, this guy wrote in 56 to 117 AD, he wrote, "derived their name and origin from Christ, who, in the reign of Tiberius, had suffered death by the sentence of the procurator Pontius Pilate." So you've got these things that have been written in history. These are like history books. We have to start by understanding that Jesus was, in fact, a real historical person. He was a real guy that walked the earth. No question as to that. But we have historical ancient documentation. And we actually have more manuscripts of this stuff than we do from Socrates or we do from Homer's Iliad. And I think a majority of you guys have had to read those in school. And nobody questions those. But we have more manuscripts of these. The four Gospels in the Bible, which are considered historical documents by scholars, make all of these same claims about Jesus, obviously. So the question becomes, what are you going to believe about Jesus? What are you going to believe about him? That's ultimately what we're getting to. And you may have heard this before, but I'm going to go over it real quick with you, because Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, he was one of three things. He was either a lunatic, he was a liar, or he was Lord. And here's kind of where you know, where the rubber hits the road, if you want to call it that. John 14, 6, this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus claimed that he was God. He claimed, I'm right and everybody's wrong. I mean, there it is. You can't interpret that any different. And it's huge because he makes this claim of exclusivity. He's very exclusive in what he's saying here. And C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all those, he actually wrote more on theology than he did, which theology is the study of God, if you didn't know that. He wrote more on that than he did on, you know, talking lions. And he said this about Jesus. He said he's either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. So let's break this down just really quickly. Some people believe that Jesus was just a lunatic. Okay, so if he was a lunatic, he believed himself to be God, and he was just a delusional, like, crazy person. But the funny thing is, Jesus' own family thought this early on. At one point, they actually said he's out of his mind in some cases. But do you really think that he could have fooled so many people for so long on this earth? Do you really think he could have started a revolution that has lasted up to this moment in time as just some crazy man? The largest religion in the world ever, and he was just a nutcase? It doesn't seem likely. In fact, it seems impossible if he was just some crazy person walking around. It would be the biggest con in the history of cons, which brings you to liar. So maybe he was a liar. Some people believe that he was just lying, that he knew he wasn't God and he just tried to convince everybody else that he was. But here's the deal. The people who didn't believe that Jesus was God still believed he was a good guy, still believed he was a good teacher, still believe the people in the other world religions will say he was a good prophet and a good teacher, but he was a liar. That doesn't even make sense. And here's why. Because if he was a liar, how could he be considered a good teacher and a good prophet if he was lying about the basic fundamental truth of himself? Yeah, he thinks he's God, but he's a really good teacher and a really good guy. But he thinks he's God. He's an idiot. What? That doesn't even make sense. I mean, you follow me? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Or it leaves the last option. He was Lord. That he actually was who he said he was. That's the last one, that maybe, just maybe, he is God. Maybe he's actually God. And by the end of his life, his family, who were saying, they believed. They believed. People that were closest to him, spent the most amount of time with him. There is so much compelling evidence to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And in January of 2018, just so you guys know, a little heads up for that, we're going to be talking through apologetics. We always like to do a series on apologetics on Wednesday nights in the first of the year. And apologetics is basically the defense of the faith. And so if you like to get into a little bit more of, like, how do I defend my faith and know why I believe what I believe and these kinds of things, to look at the evidence for God, we're going to be getting into that in January. So be ready for that. We're going to get into that in a deeper way. So for those of you that are believers, this should be a confidence booster. Looking through these kinds of things should be a confidence booster, because you have to decide which one it is, lunatic, liar, or Lord. And for me, it's Lord. For me personally, it's Lord. He is Lord in my life, and there's so much evidence. There's so many things that I've seen him do in my life and even in other people's lives and through this place. There's no question in my mind that he's Lord. And if you're a Christian, you've made a decision to follow Jesus, have confidence. Have confidence in that decision. It's not a stupid position to take. It's not an ignorant position to take. It's rational and it's compelling. It's not just a fairy tale for adults. So what does that mean for everybody else? You might be thinking this. Okay, so Jesus is exclusive and he's saying, I am the way, period. Yes. Christianity is right and everybody else is wrong. That might be controversial, but yes, straight up, that's the fact, Jack. All right? But what does that mean for your friends? What does that mean for those that you know that aren't Christians? What does that mean for them? Are they excluded from this? Because Jesus is saying he's exclusive. Are they excluded from heaven? Is there hope? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to God, and that's either true or it isn't, right? It's either true or it isn't. Jesus didn't leave room for anything else. It's either true or it's not. So is Jesus the only way? You better believe it. But everybody's invited. And this is the great thing about Jesus, because while he is exclusive in that he is the only way to God, he is inclusive in that his arms are open wide for anybody and everybody. And yes, that means even you and me. Anybody and everybody. Christ died for all, 2 Corinthians 5:12. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not most people, everyone. Everyone means everyone, right? He died on the cross for all of humanity, not just some of humanity, for all of humanity. Nobody is excluded, and God could not put out more of a loving invitation. He gave everything. He gave up everything for you and for me. And yes, your friends are invited. So here it is. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Matthew 16:13-15. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, these are the guys that followed him around, walked with him, the closest to him. Not just random people he came into contact with. These are his boys, right? These are the closest people to him. He said, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Referring to himself. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. See, even they were asking the question. So, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And I got to believe that each one of those guys felt like Jesus was talking right to them. Like when you look at one of those paintings, it just follows you. They had to, I mean, had to kind of be a little bit like, because honestly, guys, here it is. Everybody look at me. This is the most important question you'll ever ask. You'll ever be asked or answer in your life. Maybe like, that's pretty heavy, Jay. Yeah, I know. I get it. It's eternity. Forever. Most important question is not homecoming, yes or no. It's not. You know, with the sign or whatever. This is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Who do you say Jesus is? He's either a lunatic, a liar, or he is God. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts, or room for anything in between. So the connection point, is Jesus the only way? Yes. Yes, he is. And everyone is invited. Everyone. Anyone and everyone means everyone. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? Well, have you ever thought about your friends? You ever thought about your friends and what they know of Jesus? Have you ever thought about the fact that some of your friends don't know Jesus? I think some of you do sometimes, and we do when we're here. What about when we're not? What do we do there? Maybe this has given you some new ideas. Maybe this has given you some things you haven't thought about before. But the next step, guys, here's the deal. The next step is to begin praying for the people in your life that hold other religious beliefs. Because just because they hold other religious beliefs doesn't mean that they're excluded from the invitation from Jesus. Does it mean that they would need to leave that behind? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Because there's no room for anything else with Jesus. Straight up. But that doesn't mean that they're not invited. And I know that we all know somebody who needs Jesus. All of us. If I asked you guys to raise your hands, I'm sure all of us would raise our hand. I'm not going to do that. Maybe your next step is to actually share with the person you're thinking about. Because I hope that each one of you have somebody on your heart right now. Actually, close your eyes for a second. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. And I want you to think. This is just, I'm just kind of audible right here. I want you to think about one person that you know that maybe has not answered that question. Who do you say that he is? And when can you talk to them potentially? How can you talk to them? Maybe that person's you. Maybe the person you're thinking about, maybe you're like, I don't know if I've answered that question as to who I think he is. Well, guess what? You're in the right place at the right time. And I would love to talk to you tonight, and so would any of our leaders. That person that you're thinking about, whether that's you or whether that's somebody that you know, I want to encourage you to pray for him right now. Just pray for that person right now. Pray that God would give you a divine appointment. That just means a God-ordained moment for you to speak to them. But if that's you and you're not sure that you've answered that question, that you have a relationship with Jesus, you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, I would love to talk to you tonight. And if you want to talk about that, if you want to get that straight, you can just look up and look at me right in the eye. Just me and you, we'll see that, and we can talk. We can talk tonight, or you can talk to one of our leaders tonight. If I don't see you, forgive me, I'm doing my best. But I would love to talk tonight if that's you. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for your love for us. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you are exclusive and that we can know that you are the one way to God. The fact that we can know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through you. And Father, I thank you for that, but I thank you that you're also inclusive in that the invitation is open for everyone. I thank you that we don't have to earn our way to you, God, because there's no way we'd be able to do it. I know I've fallen short just today. There's no way we would be able to earn our way to be able to be good enough to even be in your presence, let alone speak to you. But Lord, you love us so much. You give us grace. Lord, you give us forgiveness. And Lord, you gave everything for us. And so, Lord, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you, God, I beg and I plead that your Holy Spirit would move in such a mighty way, Lord, that you would press on everyone's heart here, Lord. One of two things. One, if they don't know you, Lord, that they would make that move to talk to one of us tonight to get that settled with you. And two, Lord, for the person that maybe they have on their mind that they need to talk to, maybe has a different worldview, doesn't have a worldview, Lord, that you would open a door for each and every one of us to talk to somebody that we know about you. Lord, that we could grow your kingdom, because that's what you've called us to do. Lord, we're surrounded by people that are dying and going to hell every day, and they don't even know it. God, I'm thankful that you are Lord, that you are God, and you love us enough to leave us everything that we need. Jesus, thank you for the great night that we've had. I thank you for the fun that we've had, and Lord, I thank you that your Spirit is moving. I pray that would continue to happen. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, last thing before, this is kind of a wrap-up of the wrap-up. Before I show a score or anything like that, I want to give you guys a resource. So stick with me for just a second. I'm not dismissing yet, okay? Because I want to give you guys a resource, and that's this Dare to Share app. For those of you that have smartphones, which I think is probably all of you, most of you, or anything that you can put an app on, I know sometimes it can be difficult to talk to somebody when you don't understand all the worldviews. You're not going to remember everything I told you about Buddhism, Hinduism, or Islam, or anything like that. I get that. I don't even remember all of it all the time. All right? That's why I speak from notes. But at the same time, guys, there is this free app called Dare to Share, and it's a conference that we used to go to that we're hopefully going to be able to go to again next year after they're done kind of revamping some things. And this is a free app, and this section called How to Share that you tap right in the middle, you can download it on the app stores right now. That at the very bottom, you'll see right here, Other Worldviews. And if you hit that and you go to Other Worldviews, it has an example of all these different worldviews, from atheist to Buddhist, Hindu, Wiccan, and everything in between. and it gives you all kinds of information about the best way to share the gospel with somebody that has a different worldview than you. And for you to get just a basic understanding of what they believe and why they believe, and to be able to have an honest, respectful conversation with somebody. Because it's not the easiest thing in the world to do when you don't entirely know what someone else believes. You know, I mean, to go up and like share Christ with somebody that believes Islam, you know, you may like inadvertently offend them big time. Or, you know, Hinduism or something like that. You may say something that's extremely offensive to them and completely ruin your chance to share Christ. But understanding what they believe will help you. And so this is a free resource. Keep on your phone. I've got it on my phone. I use it all the time. There's also great things on there just about to teach you how to share your faith. If you've never shared your faith with anybody, you can use this app that will teach you how to share your faith. It will go through the gospel. We've got that thing right over there, the life in six words, the G-O-S-P-E-L. God, our sins, paying everyone life. You can use that. I used that on Tuesday with one of Val's friends who was over at our house for dinner, my wife, Valerie, who was over to our house for dinner, and I went through the G-O-S-P-E-L with her, and she prayed and accepted Christ in my office at home. It was amazing. And so you never know where the opportunity is going to be for you to share your faith with somebody, but you need to know how to talk to that person, especially if they have a different worldview than you. So take advantage of this app, go download it. It's free, mess around with it. There's videos and all kinds of great stuff on there. It's awesome. I cannot highly recommend it enough for you guys to download the Dare to Share app.